working here? All right. Hopefully we're recording. So when I started researching this, I, of course, looked at the charts and pretty quickly found Pink Shoelaces, but I don't know that much else about you. How did you get into music?
Okay. How did I get into music? I started so young. I began auditioning here in the Los Angeles, Hollywood area when I was very young. My first television appearance, I had auditioned for it, was for the Frankie Lane show, and I think I was 8 years old, seven or eight, something like that.
Wow.
And sang a couple of songs with him on his show, sang some songs alone. Actually, I think I was on that show twice. And then, I believe the same year, somewhere around then, I was on the Art Linkletter show. I think it was called Art Linkletter's House Party. And I was a guest on that show and sang, actually, my first recording that most people aren't aware of. They think it's Pink Shoelaces. It was called Merry Go, Merry Go Round, and it was on Gold Star Records. Excuse me. And I was recording under the name, I think I was Jerry. Are you ready for all these names I'm going to throw at you?
Oh, sure. That's why we're recording, so I don't have to remember.
I know. Jerry Pace, and that's G-E-R-I is how I spelled it. Jerry Pace. And I was also Jerry Thor, T-H-O-R-R, for a while. And I think that was about it.
So were you deciding on the stage names, or were the record labels deciding on the stage name?
You mean those, like Jerry's?
Yeah, was that your choice, or?
My choice, yeah. I wasn't with the record label at that time.
Okay.
This was just auditions that I had gone on, and they liked me, and they just put me on their show. These were just very local television shows. However, now that I'm thinking about it, it was a national show that was Art Linkletter and also Frankie Lane. It was national. So, but I was discovered on a local Los Angeles television show at the age of 11, and that came about when there was another artist on the show. He was a new artist for Crystalette Records, and both of us sang on the show. So the president of Crystalette Records was watching the TV program to see his new artist perform his record and saw me on the same show, very impressed with me. Like I said, I was 11 years old, contacted somebody at the TV station, spoke with my parents, told him how interested he was in recording me, but it needed to be a song that was very age-appropriate since I was so young. And it turned out to be about a year and a half later that he contacted my parents again with Pink Shoelaces. And that's how we recorded Pink Shoelaces.
Had you ever had, like, music lessons or singing lessons or...
Oh, yes, for years. I started at the age of 5.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes, weekly lessons. Continued till I was 15, I believe it was. And then I took a lapse from that for quite a while and started again in my early 20s for maybe about 3 years. I took lessons as an adult. And I highly recommend it. I eventually became a voice teacher myself in, I think it was 2001 when I began. And teaching so much of what I learned as a child, and then also from the research that I did more extensively to be a really good voice teacher. But it is important that you start working those vocal cords as they're developing in childhood, and then, of course, they continue to develop through adulthood. But if you start early, then you're going to just get a little bit ahead of the game. And for me, I think that was what happened, because by the time I was 11 years old and was discovered on this TV show, I had a very mature voice for someone so young. And that was something that actually I think worked against me in my career, because when the record company discovered that I had a much better voice beyond what I was doing with Pink Shoelaces, because if you think about it, Pink Shoelaces was mostly talked.
Mm-hmm.
It was like rapped. All the verses were talked in rhythm, and then it was just the chorus that was actually sung. So you didn't have to have a really good voice to sing that song. And once they discovered that I did have this very mature voice, they went completely on the other side of things and decided to capitalize on that. My first album after Pink Shoelaces was an album of all standards from the 40s. You know.
Well, that's a big change.
Change. And I sang them well. I sang them very well. I sounded like somebody in my 20s. But who was going to buy that album? It wasn't going to be the teenagers that were buying Pink Shoelaces. They wanted more of that. It wasn't going to be their parents who liked the songs from the 40s, because they wouldn't be buying an album from a teenager. You know, so I really don't know who was responsible for making that decision. I think it sucked, to be quite honest with you. It was just a really bad choice.
What would you have wanted to sound like? Did you have any idols or records that you really liked at that time that you would have used as a model?
Oh, well, I mean, I really did grow up liking all the girl groups. I loved the Shirelles and, you know, the Supremes and Martha Vandellas and all those early groups. I loved them. The Ronettes. I could go on and on. I liked a lot of the guys, of course, you know, Fabian and Frankie Avalon and Bobby Rydell and all those teen idols. And, you know, I really did like them. But it was mostly the kind of music was that I wanted to do, was like what these girl groups were doing. You know, Mama Said, and if you know what that song is, I don't know how.
Oh, sure,
it was.
Yeah, no.
You know,
even being a little younger, I interviewed Mary Wilson a couple of weeks ago, so had to be up on all the girl group stuff lately. And they're such good songs, I can see why, and they appealed to girls.
Yeah, yeah. So I was very much a lover of all that kind of music. I did not like Pink Shoelaces. I was not quite 13 when I actually recorded it, but I did not like it. It was cute, novelty, and stupid, but it was intended to be stupid. You're going to find this an interesting anecdote. I found this information out years later, decades later, about the writer of Pink Shoelaces. She was a very prolific writer and all at the time, and she was writing songs with heavy, meaningful lyrics. And her friends on a bet or a dare or something like that, it's unclear to me, they said, I bet you couldn't write something that was nonsensical if you were paid to do it. And so she wrote Pink Shoelaces to show them that she could.
Do you know what her name was?
Yes, her name is Mickey Grant, and it's M-I-C-K-I-E. Grant. Like
I don't know her.
Well, you know, she went on to write some, I think it was off-Broadway, Your Arms Too Short to Box with God, and Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope. Those were two musicals that she wrote. There are probably others that are escaping me right now, but yeah, she really wanted to write some good music and musicals. That's kind of where her love was at. So Pink Shoelaces, she doesn't even, what I've heard anyhow through the grapevine, she doesn't even necessarily take claim of it, and you know, she's not proud of it, in other words.
I guess a lot of songwriters probably have one like that.
Yeah.
But
I know she's made a lot of money on it as a writer. I know she has. And I hope she continues to.
Royalties are not nothing, but it did change things for you. What's it like to have a gold record when you're, you know, Not even in high school yet? Were you in high school yet when?
I was just getting into my first year, my freshman year. I believe somewhere around February or March of 1959 when it really took off. So I had just begun in my first or maybe second semester of high school. It was easy in some respects and not so easy in other ways. There were a lot of people in school that were in awe of me and thought that I was better than them, didn't want to approach me. Because of that, the boys stayed away from me because they didn't think I'd be interested in dating the likes of them, you know, that kind of thing. So it really kind of worked against me in that way. And then there were some that were very jealous of it, and those are the ones that would bully me and, you know, make fun of me when I walked down the hall and just being kids, you know, just being teenagers. Some of my teachers were just great when I had to leave to go on a tour for 2 or 3 weeks, and they would give me assignments ahead of time, and I could take it with me and just return it to them when I came back. Others were very hard-nosed and said, no, if you're not here, you just get an F or whatever it was. So it wasn't the best time for me in high school.
What does your parents think about all of this, your touring, and what did your parents think of all of that, your mom and dad, or were they okay with you going out on the tours?
Well, it was my mother that went on the tours with me. My father had to stay behind because he was still working at his day job, which was a house painter, and I had an older sister, a year older, which was also in school, so he had to stay behind to work and, of course, watch my sister. And my mother went on the road with me, and of course she loved it. I mean, you know, I came from a very modest family. Both my parents were extremely talented and never had the opportunity to explore that or to do anything with it. My father had the most beautiful operatic voice, and my mother was a wonderful dancer. In fact, that's how they met. She was a dance instructor, and he took lessons from her, and but he really knew how to dance. He just wanted to meet her. Yeah.
That's great.
And so she was this great dancer, so I got that performance ability and dance ability from her, the voice from my dad. My sister also was a wonderful dancer, could not sing her way out of anything. Just no, like my mother. My mother did not have a good voice. So, you know, we each got the appropriate DNA from each of them. But she really excelled in sports. She was very sports-minded. She was kind of tomboyish. You know, so we were very different, as most people are. I think that's how it's supposed to be. We're all just so unique. And but, yeah, very different, both my sister and myself. So my parents just loved all the attention that I was getting, and they had sacrificed a lot. My father in particular, he put in a full 8, 9, maybe 10-hour day of hard work, you know, painting houses, that's laborious work. Mm-hmm. And then he'd come home, this was once a week, and he'd rush home and then go through the rush hour traffic to get me to my voice lesson in Hollywood, which was, I guess, about a half hour, maybe 40 minutes away. And then, of course, any kind of auditions that I went on, he was right there to make sure I got there. My mother didn't drive, so it was all very much on him. They did. They, like I say, they sacrificed a lot, and it paid off big time. And that was a good thing. I mean, that went on for quite some time until. And my career was definitely evolving, Leah. It was going from not just making records and touring, but doing the movies that I do. Gardens with Fabian. And then I did another one, just a cameo role on a film called Convicts 4 with Ben Gazzara, I think, was the star of it. And then there were other, all these wonderful cameo roles from all kinds of stars at the time. And then I did a full-length featured animated cartoon with Fabian. So I had that going for me. Things were going well until I became a know-it-all teenager. And suddenly my fame and all the good stuff that I was gleaning from it, I didn't like it anymore. I didn't like the attention. I wanted to be like my friends in high school. I wanted to do what they were doing, and what they were doing was marrying their high school sweethearts, marrying very young, starting a family, and that appealed to me. I liked that very much. And so at the age of 17, I met somebody a few years older than me, married him. Actually, my parents, of course, were not giving me their permission, but I went across the border to Mexico and married him, and they didn't know about it. And then I thought I was pregnant, and then I told them, well, I think I'm pregnant. Well, at that time, well, then you must get married. It was kind of a ploy. I really wasn't pregnant. I kind of thought that they would accept that and let me stay married, which they did. And then that goes on and on and on. And long story short, I stayed out of music from 17 until I was 21. And had a baby, got back into show business, divorced. Baby was 6 months old, and resumed my career again as best I could.
Yeah, that must have been a balance. How did you?
Well, at first, of course, I moved back home with my mom and dad, with my daughter. She was 6 months old. When I would go on the road, because, of course, I started singing again, just not at the level that I did at Pink Shoelaces. Too many years had passed by. There were too many changes in the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't really use Dodie Stevens and, look, I'm back. I was an adult. When I left, I was a teenager. So there was a lot of rejection. And so I just started over again and dropped the name Dodie, kept the name Stevens, used Jerry or Geraldine, did a lot of background singing at the time. When I was on the road, some of the time, my parents were there to watch her and take her to school when she got old enough to do that. But when I could, and it was very young, I think she was 3 years old, when she could travel alone, and I would send for her wherever I was, and she'd be on the road with me. So she was on the road at a very young age. So I balanced it. Either my mom and dad were able to take care of her, or when I could on the road, she would be with me.
Yeah, I can. You know, it's something we all have to figure out, I guess. And
yeah, we do. In our own way, it was a job.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a job that kept me away during the day for a day gig or anything like that. My job was on the road and, of course, in the evening. And that was the other thing. She had to get accustomed to my schedule. I knew that early on. I think innately I knew that if I wanted her to be with me and be a good mother, I didn't want to have to change my schedule or be so tired while I was working because I was up in the middle of the night with her. Or, you know, it was something that I knew, okay, I'm not going to be able to work as a good mother with your schedule, my dear. so you're going to have to work on mine. So that was that. She stayed up late while I was working. She sat in the wings watching me on stage. She went to bed when I went to bed. She got up when I got up. And she adapted very easily. Children do. They just do, especially at that age. And she just wanted to be with me, so it didn't matter what the hours were.
I think I saw her. She's a musician now. She's the one that sings with you sometimes?
Yes. We've been singing together since the mid-90s.
Wow.
We've been in a few bands together, original bands that we were a part of. And then the doo-wop shows that I've been doing since then, since the 90s, she does all of them with me.
That's great.
And this new project that I had told you.
Yeah, what are you working on?
Well, it's something called Affirmasong. And what it is a motivational and inspirational concert with songs that have been written by me, and they all have positive messages in them. It's like going to a lecture and listening to somebody speak about their latest self-help book, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of doing that, they're hearing songs with these messages.
How long have you been writing songs?
I've been writing since the mid-80s, but these kinds of songs with more of a positive tone to them, not just another love song or he done me wrong song kind of thing. I've been doing that for the last probably 15 plus years. I've been doing that. But this one I've been working on now for the last 2 years. And basically what it is every song contains a lesson, a life's lesson in it, something that I learned along the way, you know, starting from when I made the choice to give up my career when it was at its peak, and then the choice to get back in again and start all over, and what my life was like was not easy. It just was not easy. And I made lots of mistakes like everybody else does when they're young and dumb. But that's how I learned. And when I finally found a way out and I found another way that I could live my life in a more positive, happy existence as opposed to one that was heavy and, you know, poor pitiful me and all that why me kind of thing, I found that there really was another way. And if I changed my way of thinking and the words that I said, the power of your mind, the power of your words creates your reality. In a nutshell is what I'm saying. So when I found that information and gave it a try and found that this makes a lot of sense and it's working and it has continued to work. So it's just me sharing all this stuff. Every song is a lesson learned in the game of life.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that.
You know, what you can do right now is you can go to my website that my daughter Stephanie designed. Go to affirmasong.com, and you'll hear a sample of each of the songs that we do in the concert. You'll read a little bit more of the proposal and what it's really all about, and even more of a very in-depth bio of both myself and Stephanie. But, yeah, Affirm a Song. Do you need me to spell it?
Yeah, I think I can
yeah,
I can find it from your website. Great.
Yeah, affirmasong.com.